Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, The Spirit of Fear versus the Spirit of Courage.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the spirit of fear versus the spirit of courage. Which one do you think is experienced by most people in the world today? Which one is experienced by most by Christians in the world today? Which one are you experiencing the most of? And which one would you like to have more of? Amen. Let's talk today about the spirit of fear versus the spirit of courage and see what God would teach us about that in His holy word, the scriptures, for our empowerment and encouragement in Jesus Christ as we march as God's army through this world to the end of this world, to the return of our King, and to the prize that is awaiting us at the end of it. What's God say to us today about fear and courage? Well, first, let's just define these things, and I'll actually, in this case, use Webster's Dictionary. I think it does a good job of defining fear and courage. First of all, what is fear? Fear is, they say, an unpleasant and often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Okay, so that's fear. What's courage? Well, they say a mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So what do we know is the difference between fear and courage already? It's not the outward circumstances that we're facing, because both are existing in a state of danger. The difference is the stance of the heart with respect to its reaction or angle it's taking against that danger. So fear looks at the danger and cowers, retreats, runs away, hides in a shell, and makes you weak. Courage sees that same outward circumstance of danger and is filled with strength and makes you run forward and go after it for the win. So it's not an outward thing. What we're talking about today is the stance of the heart. Fear versus courage. Big difference, though, between these two. And to take a look at it a little bit more, consider that great example of courage in Scripture. David and the army of Israel, as they both faced Goliath, the giant. There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, 9.5 feet tall, they say, armed to the teeth. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. He made great boasts. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So note, outward circumstance, giant, inward heart stance, fear. They want to run away and hide in a shell, if they could. We note, though, David said then to the men who stood by him, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He went to the king. And he said, let no man's heart fail because of this man. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So notice, outward circumstance, same. Everybody sees Goliath. They see what he looks like. Different inner heart stance towards him. The people of Israel, the army, were afraid, and they were like hermit crabs. They wanted to suck themselves back into a shell, hide, cower, fear, run, retreat. David sees the same thing outwardly. The stance of his heart is altogether different. He says, this is now to opportunity to come out brandish my sword, or sling if you will, and run at him for the win. That's courage. And in fact, David did run at him. We read, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. So, perfect illustration here of fear versus courage. Let's understand it a little bit better then. It's an inward stance. So what did the army of Israel see when they saw Goliath? They said, this person, our hearts perceive, is a champion. He's aggressive, he's a brute, he's tough, and he's unstoppable. And so they wanted to run, retreat, fear, hide, hide up in a shell. David, in the stance of his heart, sees something entirely different. This is an uncircumcised Philistine whose protection has been removed. God's against him, and I'm going to crush him and run forward for the win. See, there's a difference there. And what's the difference? The eyes of the heart. The one has the eyes of flesh, judges things, the battle according to the flesh. The other has the eyes of faith and assesses the battlefield according to the eyes of God, according to the eyes of the Spirit, the new heart that God gives us. Let's note here, though, that then there's a difference, which I'm preaching to you today, between earthly courage and divine courage, okay? So earthly courage can be experienced even by unbelievers on the battlefield. You know, there's courageous acts done by non-Christians on the battlefield. They can assess it according to the flesh. Maybe run at danger. Maybe that's a good assessment. Maybe that's a bad one. Maybe they're going to die. Maybe they'll win. Who knows? But the difference I'm preaching to you today is divine courage, which sees the battlefield by faith in truth according to the Spirit and says, I'm going forward for the win and I can't possibly lose because God is on my side and he's going to give me the victory. Do you have that kind of a heart and spirit when you assess the battlefield of the world today? Well, here's a good definition I think I wrote of courage. It's faith on the warpath. Mm-hmm. Faith on the warpath for the cause of the truth and to defend the right and to give glory to God. So what I'm talking to you today about is going after divine courage, letting that rise in your hearts. What is the difference between these two? Fear makes you weak. Amen? You're weak as water. Faith and courage makes you strong like a rock. And think about this. Courage is the one virtue you need more than any other virtue amongst the Christian arsenal. Really? Well, why? Consider how courage is number one. Every other virtue that you have as a Christian, love, humility, good deeds, charity and all these other things, they're useless without courage. Because if you lack courage and have all these other virtues and you see the battlefield, you run away and none of the other virtues ever get used. It's only courage, faith in action, on the warpath, running forward, that makes all the other virtues follow and show themselves splendidly on the battlefield. So courage is the one thing we need to go forward as Christians. And frankly, it's exhilarating, isn't it? Have you experienced the joy of courage? You know, David was the only person who was alive, really, and bright on that battlefield. Everybody else, it was like there was a mist and a fog and rain and clouds over their heads. But David, it was like bright blue skies and sunshine. This is a great day. Courage is exhilarating. Martin Luther certainly was had courage of an amazing magnitude. And he said when he stood up against the Emperor Charles V and against the Roman Catholic regime, he says, once you've tasted of the exhilarating power of courage, you're going to want to run back to it again and again. It feels great. Courage, Christian courage. And you know, Christian courage is defiant. Say the word defiant. Defiant. You know, we obey governors and authorities where we can. But when they go against God, We are defiant marvelously. You know, Goliath yelled at David. What did David do? He yelled back defiantly, "I'll strike you down, Goliath." He's defiant. You know, you got to be defiant as a Christian if you're going to be courageous. Remember Daniel? You can't pray to anybody. You can't pray anymore to any other god. Daniel prayed anyway. He's defiant. Christian courage is defiant. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "You shall bow down before this golden image. We deny that, O king. We defy you. And our God is able to save us out of your hand." It's defiance. If you think about Peter and James, and John, "You shall not preach anymore in Jesus' name," said the authorities. And they said, "We must obey God rather than men." Defiant. If you look at Paul, likewise, and Jesus especially, "I defy the God," little g, "of this world, the devil," he says, "and I come to cast you out." So say again the word defiant.
Defiant.
It's gloriously so. Christian courage is strong and mighty and glorious. It's admired by men. Remember David, after he finishes all this, everybody's cheering. And the women sing the songs, "Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And it's admired by God and angels. "Be strong and of good courage," says God to Joshua. "You shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous." You know, God absolutely loves courage. That's one of his favorite attributes in you. It's what he puts into you. It says in the book of Hebrews that he who shrinks back, God has no pleasure in him. Cowards. He has pleasure in courageous saints. And it's the courageous who take the kingdom of heaven and rush towards it. It's the hallmark of all of God's people. "For the wicked flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion." So what is courage again? It's faith in action on the warpath. And what is it? It's faith in God. He's on my side. He'll give me the victory, and I'm going forward in the power of his name. Courage is great. I want to ask, do you have it? Well, could we have more? And do we actually, do you think, need courage in these days? Is that something much necessary? Well, especially in these times, we need courage. Why? Because there is a spirit of fear ranging the countryside of this world this very day. There are Goliaths and giants at large in the world. What kinds of Goliaths? What kinds of giants? Well, of course, there's this whole COVID-19 thing that's being preached day and night, night and day, and the media says, fear, 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 fear. People are buying into it. Governments are inspiring a spirit of fear. I just got this text last night from one of our members. It says, "Coronavirus crackdown." This is in Canada. "Judge orders Canadian church locked to prevent Sunday worship services." Right there. So there is a spirit of Antichrist in the world today that's trying to put you, Christians, into fear, to lock churches and padlock them and say, "You can't worship unless we let you." Are we going to be defiant against that?
Yes.
You got billionaire bullies. And I got to tell you, there's several of those today. I believe they have evil agendas that are afoot, and they're only getting started. Are you going to be ready with courage to meet them when they come out into full view? Their fear of the future, the fear of people, because you're not doing what they're doing, and the fear of death. Death, 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 death. What do you hear on the news? Death, 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 death. Everywhere is being preached, and people are gripped in a spirit of fear. I was walking across a park not too long ago, and two little toddlers saw me coming at about 100 yards without a mask on. "Mommy, mommy," they cried. The mom said, "It's okay, he's at a distance." What is being put into the spirit, into the spirits of our children? A spirit of fear. You can see that in adults, can't you? I mean, you see that you're driving down Courtney Parkway or something, and here's someone in their car with a mask on, with their windows rolled up, with a face shield. That is fear gone crazy. It's gripping the world today? Will you be afraid? Or will you stand up defiant against these with the spirit of courage that God loves to see inside of you? Well, where does all this fear come from? Who is preaching it? Well, you could certainly say the media, right? News agencies, extraordinaire especially. You know, they're living off of fear. That's the way they get their business. It's to preach fear, 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 fear. Virus, death, death tolls. Did you see recently Project Veritas, that undercover operation that revealed the CNN technical director, his name was Charlie Chester, he was caught saying on tape, in a secret taping of him at a luncheon with a pretty girl, and he said that they're basically faking their news, and they've been faking their news. They're propagandists. They're making up stories that have no basis in fact. He says this. And he also revealed that they're preaching fear. They were told to preach and push death tolls towards you in order to drive you into fear. And he said, quote, fear sells. And he's even revealed that their plan is, once you get tired of hearing of COVID deaths and you can't take that anymore, they're going to move on to climate change. Chicken Little, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We're all going to die. They're planning on driving you into fear. Are you going to let them do it? I love you. The world powers at work in the day. The billionaire bullies, the governments, the devil, the demons, the spirits of fear at work in heavenly places and spiritual places. They're all going to try to drive the world into fear, and they're doing a pretty good job of it amongst those who are sitting ducks and don't have faith to stand against it. How about you? You know? Are you going to stand up and fight against these windbags and brutes? Are you going to stand up against them, brandishing your sword, running forward to win the day and the victory? Listen to this very carefully. God tells us in Scripture, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. If you feel fear, that's just your old mortal flesh, or it's demons putting it into you. We all have to fight against it, okay? But if you have a spirit of fear, it didn't come from Him, God. God puts into you courage, Christian courage, glorious and marvelous courage. That's what He loves to do. That's the spirit of the living God inside of you. And you know what? You can be part of a great movement. Because Christians, true Christians, who come to church, are rising up everywhere in great courage. Do you know in Canada, where the government has sent police to break up a church, the pastor shouted, "Out, Nazis, out!" Did you see that one? He says, "Come back with a warrant. You have no right to shut down this Passover Christian church service." Another place, they were trying to shut down a church, and the people all just started singing a hymn, and the police were powerless to stop the worship. Another place, the pastor was feeding the poor. This is all up in Canada, actually. And he said, "I will not stop feeding the poor, and you can't stop me." And then a pastor was asked up there, why are your people not wearing masks at your church? I don't see anybody wearing masks. He says, "Because we're not dogs wearing muzzles. We are eagles and lions. The wicked flees when no one pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion." And there is a spirit rising up in the ranks of God's armies today, God's people, of courage to run the battle line, to make all of you into David. That's what God does. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control, and that's in and through Jesus Christ. So, how can we stir up courage? If you're afraid today, how can we scoop that out of your heart and put into you a brave heart? Let's go back to this. Courage is faith assessing the battlefield according to truth. You know, if we're afraid, we're assessing the battlefield according to the eyes of the flesh. And your flesh, your mortal flesh, the old Adam in you, will always be afraid when it sees danger coming, but not the eyes of faith. God puts into you the ability to see that these champions that are at large in the world today are just brutes, windbags, bugs to be crushed, As Joshua said, they're bread for us. Their protection is removed. The Lord of hosts is with us. Let's go forward and win the victory. Because God is with you. God is on your side. God's power is behind you to give you the win. You know, that's the spirit that's at work in all of the Christians to say that. Let's take a look. Remember David? He's fighting Goliath. What does he say before the battle as he assesses it to Goliath? He says, "The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand." Notice, he expects to win. That's because faith believes it and sees the truth. God is going to do it. God loves that kind of thing from you. You got to know it. He loves that you want to run, and he loves that you see you're going to win because of him. Remember, Daniel, it says, and his friends there, Daniel's friends said to the king, defiantly, "The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." Isn't that great? We're going to win. You can't stop us, even if you throw us into the fire. And the apostles, "The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trial," says Peter, "and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. We cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard." That's great. Glorious defiance. We're going to win. And look at Paul. When so many giants attacked him, he gave this battle cry: "The Lord will rescue me from every evil and will save me for his heavenly kingdom." I'm going to ask you right now, if you assess the battlefield by faith, what can possibly stop you? Nothing can stop you as a Christian. Let's try this right now. How about this virus that they preach day and night, night and day? Fear, fear, fear. Can that stop you? No. Number one, God's going to save you out of it. "He'll deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence," says Scripture. "He'll cover me with his feathers. Under his wings I'll find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." And Exodus 15 says, "The Lord is my healer." Now, even if you did succumb to the virus, you win because you didn't live in fear and you come to eternal life. But you'll also be delivered in this life from it. Courage. How about when the global powers come against you and say, "You must submit to the spirit of Antichrist that's at work in the world. You must get this immunity passport if you want to travel, if you want to go to a baseball game, if you want to go to a concert to some other country or on a cruise ship. You must get our passport." Are you going to accept that?
No.
Are you going to be gloriously defiant and say, "There's nothing that you have that I need, because I got Jesus Christ. And as for following you as king, frankly, I've already got a king. His name's Jesus Christ, and it's written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" That's courage. God's going to love that. He'll deliver you. He'll give you the win. How about if they persecute you, like they're doing in Canada, trying to break up churches, lock them down, as we see, for preaching, maybe throw you into jail. Oh, no, jail. If that were possible, if that's what they do. No worries. I always wanted a jail ministry, frankly. And if that were to happen, wouldn't that be marvelous? I'd be part of the great company of all God's greats who've gone to jail. Jeremiah, thrown into the pit. Peter, Paul, John the Baptist, and my King himself, Jesus Christ, was arrested, was he not?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be marvelous to be part of that great hall of fame of those arrested for the sake of the name? Because if you're arrested for the sake of the name, "These fetters do not bind me. The word of God is unfettered, and it runs victoriously across the battlefield. Even if I'm locked up, and I can count myself worthy to suffer dishonor for the name." Well, how about if they say, "But we'll take away all your goods. We'll make you suffer. We'll hurt you. You have to go along with us," and such things. You say, "You ain't got nothing on me, because my reward's in heaven. And from it, I'm awaiting a savior. My treasure is where no thief approaches, and no moth or rust can destroy. You can't take anything from me. God himself has secured all my treasure where it truly counts." Well, how about death? Oh, no, death is coming. We'll kill you. Or maybe we'll send another pestilence. will get you by that, will get you. Courage says, I don't care because I believe my King has already dealt with death for me. Thank you. Through death, Jesus destroyed him who has the power of death, says Hebrews. That is the devil. And he's delivered all those who fear, through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Christ has conquered death. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of when it comes to death. Because Jesus lives, you say, courage says, I shall live also. If you want me to depart this world, I go to glory. It's courage is faith assessing the battlefield. And if you assess it by the eyes of faith, you will always go gloriously. So the eyes of flesh will fail you, but the eyes of faith is courage. It is faith on the warpath that cries, with the Lord on my side, I don't fear. What can man do to me? The Lord's on my side to help me. I will look in triumph on those who hate me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen? I'm sure, I'm confident, I'm absolutely certain of this, that death can't stop me, life can't stop me, angels can't stop me, principalities can't stop me, anything in the present can't stop me, things to come can't stop me, powers can't stop me, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can stop me or separate me from the love of God for me in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, who always leads us in triumph, Christ Jesus, who gives us the victory. Courage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Spirit of Fear versus the Spirit of Courage, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lucier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 8 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and we're covering the Book of Revelation. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
So weak and all these things so